From Fox News, it's The Candidates with Brett Baer.
On January 23, 2019, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, announced the launch of an exploratory committee to run for president in the 2020 election.
The show in Washington right now is exhausted. The corruption, the fighting, the lying, the crisis, it's got to end. The reality is there's no going back, and there's no such thing as again in the real world. We can't look for greatness in the past. Right now, our country needs a fresh start. I'm Pete Buttigieg. I'm the mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Since launching his exploratory committee, Mayor Pete has made the rounds on cable news programs and participated in a CNN town hall at South by Southwest, raising more than $600,000.
That intimate thing in our lives exists by the grace of a single vote on the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's a reminder that the freedoms, you know, our conservative friends talk about freedom a lot, but they're always talking about freedom from, as if government is the only thing that can make you unfree. That really important freedom in my life, the freedom to marry, came about because of choices that were made by policymakers who had power over me and millions of others.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern provides a deeper dive into the mayor with the unusual last name.
Say it with me, Pete Buttigieg, the 37-year-old mayor of South Bend, Indiana. He goes by Mayor Pete, a title he's had since 2012, first elected to lead the city at the age of 29. A graduate of Harvard and then a Rhodes Scholar, Buttigieg was commissioned into the Navy Reserves and deployed to Afghanistan in 2014.
I view myself as a progressive, but these labels are becoming less and less useful.
As mayor of South Bend, Buttigieg says he's worked with Indiana Republicans and put ideological differences aside.
I think more and more people just want to know what your ideas are and whether they make any sense. And part of how we were able to succeed in South Bend, governing, I believe, in accordance with progressive values, but also earning a lot of support from Republicans and independents, wasn't by trying to manage exactly where I was on this kind of left-right spectrum. It was by trying to do the right thing.
If nominated by Democrats, he would be the first in a few categories for a major party nominee. The first Afghanistan war veteran, the first millennial, and the first openly gay man on the presidential ballot.
I do believe that I'm not like the others. I belong to a different generation than most of the others. You know, mine was the generation that you know, was in high school when school shootings started to be the norm. We're the generation that's going to be on the business end of the consequences of climate change. We're also the generation that's on track to be the first in American history to make less than our parents if nothing is done to change the trajectory of our economy.
In a sit-down on Fox News Sunday, Buttigieg says while he's young, he has more government experience than President Trump and more executive experience than the vice president.
And I think coming from the industrial Midwest, a place where, unfortunately, my party really lost touch with a lot of voters, especially in 2016, it's a combination of attributes, not to mention the military service that I bring to the table.
This run for president is not the first challenge to the establishment Democratic Party. In 2017, Buttigieg ran for DNC chair, ultimately withdrawing on the day of the vote. With more than $7 million raised in his first quarter, he's unlikely to make an early exit in this race. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Jared, thanks. Let's bring in our panel, Amy Walter, national editor of the Cook Political Report, Josh Krashauer, political editor at National Journal, and Mike Allen, co-founder of Axios and co-founder of Politico. Amy, Mayor Pete, because I'm not going to spend the podcast
trying to
doing Buttigieg in its very variations.
Yes.
You know what? After his launch, he got a lot of attention.
He did. Every year in every primary, at least that I've covered, there's that one unexpected candidate, not because they're necessarily a viral, they don't have a viral moment necessarily, but because you didn't expect to be as impressed or wowed by this person who you hadn't heard of before, and especially somebody doesn't come from Washington, hasn't served time in Congress, doesn't have a big name, is from a small town in Indiana. And when you listen to him talk, there is something incredibly real. He's very articulate. He has thought a lot about these policies. This isn't somebody who just decided to get into the game because, what the heck, I have nothing better to do today than decide to run for president. He's very thoughtful. And the thing that really strikes me, I interviewed him, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, is he is somebody who's in elected office, and yet he does not act like a politician. There's nothing about him that feels like it's been scripted, focus group, poll driven. He's very comfortable in his skin. And there is something, again, that I think people are really attracted to by that. Somebody just seems authentically him. He's talking about a lot of the issues Democrats want, very progressive on a whole host of issues. But he's doing it in a way that feels very different and very unlike your traditional, especially Washington Pauls.
Mike Allen, 37, a contrast to the possible Joe Biden candidacy, Bernie Sanders candidacy, openly gay, talks about it and about his husband. What about Mayor Pete and his chances?
So usually I agree with Amy Walter about everything. I have to radically disagree with you about the idea that he's not a big name. Certainly it's a hard name. That's why we're calling him Mayor Pete here. But, yeah, there's this incredible cult following around him. And I think it's a combination of people like his style, right? People like the millennial part of him. I agree with you about the unexpected part of him. And his bio, like the military veteran from the heartland. And so the millennial thing like really works for him. And so he's gotten a lot more attention than people want. The expected, like TV shows want to book him. The campaign says they keep having to get bigger events in South Carolina. They said they got so many RSVPs, they had to move him to a bigger venue. They had a small donor event in New York that sold out in 24 hours. And so I think there's also a little bit, and I'm sure you guys have been picking up on this too, there's just excitement about these candidates. People want this race. The fact that Mayor Pete can get 350 people in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, people are excited about the race as well as Mayor Pete.
Right. Josh?
Well, the fact that we're talking about a candidate that is not very well known and he's drawing the types of crowds in New Hampshire and Iowa and across the country shows just how much hunger there is in the Democratic Party for something new and for someone who is authentic, as Buttigieg is. I think what really makes him unique, though, is the fact that he's distinct from the field in three important ways. I call him the three M's. He's got a military background, which is unique these days in the Democratic Party. You don't have a whole lot of Democrats these days with military service. He's a millennial, which is unique, I guess, with only Tulsi Gabbard as the only other candidate in his age bracket. And he's from the Midwest, which, you know, outside of Amy Klobuchar, there's not a, you know, this is an important region for Democrats to beat Donald Trump. They got to win states like Ohio and Iowa and the blue wall states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And Buttigieg has a message that is, you know, he's from South Bend. He's from a Republican, you know, Democratic city, but a Republican area of Indiana. And he does have a message that can, a down-to-earth blue-collar message that can appeal to the swing voters. So he's not going to get the nomination, but he certainly is getting on the map of Democratic.
You know, and that small town, you know, he uses that line. I think small town sensibilities is what the U.S. government needs to run the government. He's effectively used the counter that he is a politician in the state that the Vice President Pence was governor and from very different ideologies. But his track.
His track is still very challenging. Remember, and Josh pointed this out, yes, South Bend is in a red – is a in Indiana, a red state. But South Bend has elected a Democratic mayor for the last 30 years. So this is a lot different than, say, being – if you were the former governor of Indiana or a former senator of India where it had to sell out – sell statewide. Now, he points out often, well, yeah, but I got 80% of the vote, obviously. It's one thing to just get elected in Democratic cities. Another thing, if you get 80%, that means somebody voted for Mike Pence and me and Donald Trump, you know. So how do I continue to make that appeal? What I can see Pete Buttigieg doing is not necessarily – he's not necessarily winning the nomination. I agree with Josh there. I think that's going to be, if not impossible,
I just
close
wanted to say that at this point we were saying the same about Donald Trump.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
I just want to throw that out there.
No. I think
just want to throw it out there.
He has a challenging – but what he is doing is putting – both the language that Democrats are going, I think, going to start picking up in the way that he frames the debate about the economy, about people feeling left behind in states like his, and a message to push back on the president, and he's done it also on the vice president on issues like gay marriage. So that's where I think his influence, at least within the party and within the overall field, is going to be most felt. And I bet you whoever, if it's Pete Buttigieg, okay, it's him saying that message. If it's not Pete Buttigieg, you're going to hear a lot of echoes of him in the eventual nominee.
Yeah, co-opting of the message. You know, when he talks about Medicare for All, for example, he does it in a practical way than maybe some of the other esoteric, it's just out there. He says, let's get to a public option. Let's get point A to point B. Tell me how to get there. Don't tell me this is what we're going to do in the abstract.
And that part of it's very appealing because people know that what we have isn't working. It was part of the appeal of Donald Trump, right, because he was non-traditional. And I think that the fact that you have this nice young man running is, like, very American, right, like very appealing. I think people like the idea of it. And Donald Trump proves you don't need a traditional bio, the traditional seniority. Obama proved that, too. And so he, like, very fits the times in that sense.
Does the sexual orientation issue come up in the trail a lot? I mean, is this a rallying cry for part of the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, what I think is remarkable is he doesn't openly talk about his sexuality. But
if he's asked,
he brings it up. But it is telling a story about how America has come in a very short amount of time. I also think there is a more cynical way of looking at why he's running for president. A lot of these Democrats in red states, it used to be that you could win if you were a good candidate, a Senate seat, governor's race in a very conservative state like Indiana. But he really didn't have a path outside of South Bend. I mean, the House, most of the House seats are Republican. The Republicans just swept the Senate seat, wouldn't beat Joe Donnelly in 2018. So he didn't really have an option other than running for president. These days, you kind of, it's all or nothing. You want to swing for the fences.
I had Jim Messina on the panel at Special Report recently, and obviously the Obama campaign manager. And I said, Hickenlooper from Colorado, and he said, well, he's running for Colorado Senate. He just doesn't know it yet. So of these probably over under 20, how many really do we think
are going to really
are
make
in the final horse race?
And what do you determine? Like
by the
time
say,
we get to the end of the year?
By the time we get to the end of the year.
I'm going
to
say a dozen.
I'm going to take the under on that.
Okay. I think we'll be focused on about six or eight candidates. And I'm curious on who is the first serious candidate to drop out, whether it's for lack of money or, someone like Elizabeth Warren, who hasn't gotten perhaps the traction that a lot of folks thought she would earlier.
Yeah, I mean, because those debates will be fascinating to watch. It'll
be
like 3 days. Go ahead.
Yeah, people are the candidates, so the campaigns think of it in a few milestones. So first is, as you mentioned, the debates. Can you make it to the debates? And you can do that without a lot of money. And then people are thinking end of August, like Labor Day, right? Can you make it to there? Then can you make it the way the campaigns think of it is the first three contests? Do you have enough money to get you through Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina? Then there's a budget for running through all the Democratic races and ultimately the general, you need $1 billion.
Can Mayor Pete make it to Iowa?
Sure. I'm sorry to interrupt, and you can rebut or crush me. But no, the reason I say sure is that one thing that we saw in 2016, the being exciting and have a story and having people interested in you is invaluable. And like the money will come, and the total amount of money doesn't mean as much anymore. Jeff Bush spent more than Trump, right?
He's already on the first debate stage with 65,000
individual
donors.
Yeah. And the fact that all it takes now, he had one moment from that town hall that got him $600,000. If he has a great June debate performance, another viral moment, boom, you have another $2 million. Sure, that can keep your skeletal staff going. And Iowa is the place where you can run on the shoestring sort of staff in a way that you can. Or you can put all your eggs in that basket as opposed to some of those other states that are just way too expensive.
All right, panel, thank you very much. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review. We want to hear from you. So for Amy and Josh and Mike, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.